Greetings in the name of Christ. Welcome to our lesson today. In a previous lesson, I mentioned some of the blessings and benefits that this amazing grace provides for us. In that lesson, I mentioned that peace with God was one of the greatest benefits. We now have peace with God. There's no longer that animosity between us and God. God provided a way to reconcile the differences between mankind and Himself. God has reconciled us unto Himself through the death of Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk about another blessing, a blessing that we all look forward to. In Isaiah chapter 43, in verse 18, we read this, "Remember you no more the former things, neither consider the things of old. I will do a new thing. I will give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And then we read in Ezekiel 36 and 26, where God said, "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says it like this, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If I am reading this correctly and getting the correct gist of what I just read, such as a new creature, a new spirit, a new heart, it's as though we are born again. In this case, we'd be getting a fresh start, a do-over, forgetting the old life, forgetting the old failures, remembering not the old failures, the old stumblings, the old sins, the old desires to please the world. A do-over is good because many of us in our past have failed so miserably. We have done so many things that we are ashamed to even mention. But here, we get a new life, a new heart, a new spirit. We become a new man, made in the image of Jesus Christ. In Colossians, we are admonished to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. In Galatians, Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creature." In Ephesians, we are admonished to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. And then Hebrews tells us about a new covenant, about a new and living way, which God has given to us through His flesh. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Take out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, for even Christ our Passover is sanctified for us." Through the amazing grace of God, we have been given the power to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things are become new. Things new and old make up the sum of every person's experience. All that is new becomes old, disappears, and comes back again with new insight. The mind of mankind seems to have a natural leaning in both ways. We like the old because it is old and tried. We like the new because it is new. This is one of the contradictions that's inseparable from human nature. True religion takes advantage of both of these tendencies of the human nature. It appeals to the natural attachment which we have to the ancient and old ways which have been sanctioned by experience. It appeals also to the yearning for progress, for fresh experiences. Man, in his brief life, with his feeble purposes and his petty achievements, looks away from himself for the eternal and the unchanging. He knows that it's not within himself or in his environment, so he seeks it in the unseen God. For knowing God, he knows that in him there is absolute being, unaffected by the change to which all creation is subject. Man can find his true stability and his true peace only when he rests in the care and love of the Father of lights, who is without shadow of turning. When man would attempt to change, it's often been from evil to evil. So he looks forward rather than behind him. The old he can regard only with pain and regret. If there is improvement, if there is real change, it must be in what is new, a new condition, new impulses, new principles of the soul, with new associations and new help. Christianity establishes with the man the new covenant and gives him a new commandment, makes him a new creature, makes him a new creation. It opens to him a new way unto the Father by the mediator of a new covenant, gives him a new name, teaches him a new song, and inspires him with new hope of a new heaven and a new earth. In short, it enables him to serve in newness of spirit and to walk in the newness of life. The Lord Jesus himself said that he was the life of man. He came that we might have life and that we may have it more abundantly. When we understand by newness of life that which contrasts with the spiritual deadness, which hung as a cloud of darkness upon every unregenerated sinner, it is the newness of life which is particular to the Christian dispensation. Yet it is found wherever Christ is known, trusted, and loved. Jesus himself said, "Abide in me, and I in you." Christ teaches us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The signs and evidence of this new life are these. The renewed man learns who Christ is and what Christ has done and suffered for him. The renewed man submits to the claim of Christ upon his life, his faith, his love, and trust him. The renewed man consciously accepts life as the gift of God in Christ. The newness of the Christian life is revealed from a free acting and gracious agency, a transforming agency. The newness of the Christian life is displayed in the motives and principles by which it is governed. The love of Christ revealed and responded to is the power of this life. The law of Christ becomes a law of friendship. The approval of Christ is that which makes the heart filled with joy. New associations are a feature of the Christian's new life.
I'm going to end the lesson right here. I've got a gold nugget I'd like to share with you before I leave the air. I found it in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Turn there with me. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus acted at all times as though he trusted his father to handle all the situations. Even when he was being reviled and tortured, he left his case in the hand of God. He asked the same of you and me. This is what baffled the disciples. At times they must have thought that Jesus was a hopeless passive and that he was failing to come to grips with reality. He seems bent on drifting into disaster. They must have wondered, why not cash in on his popularity with the crowd or pull some political strings? The foolishness of God is wiser than men.